brand new car.
All right. Friends, I told you, hey, we're going to have some interviews this year, and I've got on one of those premier bands out of the great state of Michigan. Now, that's right, home of the Wolverines, but it's also the home of a band called Bathurst. Hey, they kind of do a garage, rockabilly, psychobilly style, a little bit kind of like the Cramps, and we're going to dig in and find out a little bit more about them today. I got them on the phone right now. Starting with Rick Ruiner. Rick Ruiner.
I'm here.
All right.
I'm here.
You're there.
And we're naked. The whole band is naked.
The whole band's naked. That's got to be a...
Yeah, we're ready for this radio interview.
That's got to be a sight. It's okay. You can step on me anytime you want. Hey, Rick, tell us a little bit about the band. Tell us a little bit about the band, how you guys got together. I know this was a side project from your band, The Ruiners, that started in 97. So give us a little bit of background on why you guys decided to get a little demented and do the Bathurst project.
Okay. Yes, we were in the midst of the pandemic, and some of the band was sort of secluded, so others of us kind of got together. And Jungle Josh always wanted to play guitar, so he started playing kind of a good rockabilly guitar. And my dentist, Ajax, he is our drummer, and we talked for years about doing a project. So, and then, of course, Nina's always up for whatever project. And so we kind of just got going that way and Josh and I started writing songs. Interestingly enough, Jungle Josh's first guitar lesson was from Ted Nugent, and that's a true story.
Another great Michigan legend right there, right?
There, yes. Everybody really loves Ted Nugent and all his politics. Everybody's really behind it.
Yeah.
I'll let Jungle Josh tell that story. How did you hook up with Ted Nugent?
How did you hook up with him? Were you out there hunting and at a Trump rally, or what were you doing?
A little loincloth.
No, so what happened was I was, like, really, really, really little, and I used to watch his hunting TV show that used to be on TV. I forget what channel it used to come on, but he used to have this hunting TV show. And I really, like, was into, like, how he would, like... Because I'm really big into bow hunting. I've always been kind of into bow hunting. But anyway, I just kind of got, like, really obsessed with his videos. And, you know, when you're a kid, you get obsessed with, like, weird stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, we went to this festival called Outdoorama around the time I got into him. And his wife was there at this table with these, for the Ted Nugent's Camp for Kids, where they take kids with, like, disabilities and stuff out. Wow. And teach them how to hunt and stuff. And I actually got ADHD and autism myself. And so she told my parents about the Camp for Kids thing, and in order to get into it, you had to do a handwritten letter to Ted Nugent to tell him, you know, why you think you should go to his camp for kids.
Right.
So I handwrote him this letter telling him how much I really loved his TV show and how I actually had a couple of his albums and told him what songs I loved off of those albums and stuff. And while I went to elementary school, you know, about a month after that, my mom drives up to the school and picks me up. She's all freaking out. She's like, Josh, you're not gonna believe this, Ted Nugent called my phone. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, he called our number and said you're going to his camp for kids.
Well, that's
so
crazy.
I got to go to the camp for kids, and at the very end of the thing, after he taught us how to shoot guns, after he taught us how to use a bow and arrow, all of that stuff.
Once he taught you how to kill your parents,
how to ride a bison.
right.
But anyway, so at the very end of the Camp for Kids thing, he actually, like, showed up with an acoustic guitar and played a bunch of songs off of his albums for us and was showing us stuff on his guitar.
So basically, you learned how to kill, and you learned how to play Cat Scratch Fever.
Basically, yes.
that's pretty cool, though. Pretty cool. I mean, kept you interested in music. Look, you're still doing it, right?
Oh, yeah. Then, you know, I've been playing guitar for 20 years straight.
Now, is anybody in the band there? Did anybody learn to rap from Eminem or anything? Just thinking about the 8 Mile.
Yeah, there you go.
Keeping it real. We don't play no rap music though, so stay away from it. Oh, anyway.
You're going to the Eminem music camp.
I'll let Nita answer that.
You're originally from Russia, correct? Or around that area?
Yes, I am.
You are.
Yes, I am.
Nothing wrong with that. You know what? We get a huge fan base, a huge listenership out of Russia.
Oh, that's not surprising.
Say hello to your Russian friends in Russia.
Здравствуйте, дорогие товарищи.
There you go. The most popular, Nina.
Yeah.
And you actually have a cut on the album here that you sing, right? Which song is that?
Swim at Night.
Swim at Night. Now, I think I've spun that here a couple times on the show. Enjoy it. Of course, we enjoy all of the Bathurst stuff. And why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into the music, coming to the States, or whatever you want to talk about. We're cool with it.
It's a very long story, so I'm going to cut it short.
That would be preferred.
Go
ahead,
dear. I moved here in 96. I came across Rick Rooner in 99. He asked me out. I told him to get lost. 10 years later, we're inseparable.
connected
at the hip.
Right. Next thing you know, you're on crazy music videos like Bronze Fawns and everything, and just playing rock and roll music.
Oh, yeah. Bronze Fawns. That's a classic.
Hey.
He's sitting right next to me right now.
You know what?
Yeah, but
I think that's the way I discovered you guys, was through that song on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. That was played. It's been getting some airplay around for some novelty song.
Yeah, I think it's probably the first song I spun of your guys'. You know, after I seen the video, I'm like, man, that's something crazy enough for me to play on a crazy rockabilly, psychobilly show.
Tell me about your body paint.
Yeah, what about that body paint there?
Oh, gosh. So, for Bronze Fawns, this is Ajax, the drummer.
Ajax.
And Dentist. See, I've got a normal, kind of a normal, boring life outside of Bathurst, but, you know.
Not boring at all. I've been to your office. This is not
these guys are wild and crazy, and so they bring that out of me, which I love. So you got to have, you know, balance in life, right?
Right, exactly. You got to go a little crazy every now and then.
That's exactly right. So for Bronze Fawns, the Bronze Fawn statue is actually in Milwaukee, and, since we couldn't go to Milwaukee, I decided to become the Bronze Fawns and got an all bronze outfit, bronze leather jacket and pants and boots and
body paint.
And then body paint. Had to paint my entire face and actually everything. My entire body was painted. Painted bronze. It was very hot that day when we filmed the video. It must have been in the mid-90s. And we were just dying, and that plastic bronze outfit was just a killer. But it turned out nice. We were really happy with the results. So I guess it was worth it.
I'm sure anybody coming by was wondering, what are those freaks doing now?
Yeah. I mean, you got to just let your...
Let your freak fly. Hold on, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying the freak flag.
Yeah, you got
fly.
That right.
Exactly.
Yeah, your inhibitions must go away.
I tell you what, I haven't even been drinking today, and I can't talk. I'm telling you.
You're in good company.
Yes, we're all the same way. We've got Dana here coming up next, and she's our bass player.
Dana, the magical bass player, Dana.
That's me, Dana.
Yes.
Sadly.
Dana, you sound
late
great.
I'm a late comer to these misfits. But I was a big fan of the band before I joined the band. So Jungle Josh was looking for a bass player on a so-called social media platform, and I jumped on it.
Is that right?
Yeah, and after much discussion and committee meetings, board of director voting, I was awarded the job. And I'm very honored.
The casting couch.
Yeah, the casting couch.
And does everybody also play in the Ruiners and Bathursts, or?
Oh, that's a good, yeah. Let James say hello. He's the Ruiners drummer.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, so this is James. My name's James. James Trunco. I am the official drummer for the Ruiners.
And married to Dana.
And yes, and also married to the lovely Dana Deadly.
There you go.
Bass player for Bathursts and the Ruiners.
Keeping it in the family.
Indeed.
nothing wrong with that. And you guys, like I said, have been playing since 1997. You got the side project of the Bathursts, which I think has really taken off, you know, really kind of exploded on the internet. How do you guys feel that the internet has, do you feel that the internet has helped local bands, you know, gain more attention and such?
I think so. I think, you know, as soon as I put a picture of Nina up on this is Rick, by the way.
Okay, Rick.
As soon as I put a picture of Nina up on Facebook, we get a lot more fans for some reason.
You know, at one time I was married, okay? And my wife used to do our show called The Hellbill Express. But anyway.
It is an institution.
Anyway, well, we all need institutionalized. But but any time that I'd post a show and I'd use a thumbnail of my wife, that show would get a lot more listens than if I just put my face on there.
It's a miracle.
It's amazing.
Rock and roll
happens.
Miracle.
It's amazing. I always say, if you find a nice looking woman to put there as a thumbnail or something, man, you're going to gain a lot more attention.
I love when we book and we give Nina the let her email back and ask for money. No one ever wants to say no to a woman.
Right, exactly.
They don't want to appear cheap.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. They're like, oh, nope, pay her. Yeah, it is amazing how that stuff happens. And let's jump back go ahead.
Oh, I just was saying, yeah, Bathurst is taking off. We have received a lot of love for this band. I didn't expect it. And, yeah, we can't say much about it, but Hollywood is calling.
I'm telling you. Hey, why don't you tell us about the car? The car is always classic, right?
Oh, yeah.
And people love the car. If you haven't seen the videos, check out the car. Bathursts, they've got it all amped up. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's the member of the band. It's the sixth member of the band. The Bathursts car, I welded that together at school for my master's degree. And it was in the art building for 2 years without a gas tank in it, and I welded on it. And things kept disappearing. They were looking for a light pole, which became the bumper for the car. And I had, I think there was like six file cabinets that gave their all to being part of the Bathursts. So I welded all this together kind of on a shoestring budget.
That's pretty amazing. It looks pretty killer. I'm sure a lot of people keep their eyes on that. Now, was it influenced by the Batman TV show of the 1960s? Or?
Oh, absolutely. It's George Barris saw that car. We had a mutual friend, and he loved it. He was really enamored. And he, of course, is the one that created the original Batmobile, I should say, and I did the Bathursts. A couple of PBRs later.
Right.
So, yeah. That's been kind of, you know, it was Nina's idea to name the band that.
Well,
we couldn't think of a band name.
Right.
She thought the Bathursts.
It was brilliant. I mean, it catches people's attention, you know. And, of course, her being from over in Russia, she's used to bands with crazy name like the, you know, everybody over
True.
There. You know, a lot of psychobilly coming out of Moscow, actually. That I spend right here on the show.
Absolutely.
So she was down with it.
It's a brutal culture.
Well, like
when Nina says something, it sticks. We don't argue with her. We're all afraid of her.
Exactly.
I'm terrified of her. Yeah, I'm terrified of her. I don't want to end up in the gulag.
Right. She'll start.
But I think that the name was good. It worked really well for the band. It fits the image of the band. Sort of what happened, too, is the Ruiners, we just sort of put all the psychobilly and creepy stuff into Bathurst and then divided it and made Ruiners all, like, kind of the party stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right, makes
so
sense.
So it was really good. It was a good move strategically and stylistically to have this Bathurst band because we've articulated, I think, that kind of stuff pretty well with Bathurst. It seems to be, you know, beloved by the Cramps people and people that are sort of into that kind of thing, I guess.
Well, exactly, and that's
this PBR is really going to my head. I should keep passing the phone around.
Hey, I'll tell you something. Usually when you're drinking, you either get really good ideas or really bad ideas, but so far it's worked out for you.
It has. Well, we were nervous, so drank a little bit before the call came through.
Hey, my first time on the radio, trust me, there was a cooler in the radio station that always stocked full of beer, and I made sure to have a couple before I went on air. I don't know.
Josh makes sure that we're always neat and white claws.
They call me Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus.
Santa
yeah.
Claus with the white claws. Why don't we go ahead and do something that we haven't done before? We're going to play Swim at Night, the Russian version, actually by Bathurst, by Nina right here. That's on their new CD, Transylvania Moonshine. You can check it out wherever you find your great music. And you're going to hear it here on Hot Rodden tonight.
Oh,
One excellent track right there by Bathurst. Hey, tell me about your influences from growing up. We already heard about Ted Nugent and stuff like that. But what's some of the other influences that you guys have had, you know, that led you to this crazy music?
I'm gonna send you over to Nina. Let her start it here.
Go for it.
Nina's influences.
Well, I was lucky enough to have my father being pretty much getting me into very cool music. Like, I grew up as a little kid on 6/6 Sputnik and Sisters of Mercy, like, just as I was walking, and my dad was busting that music on his car while he was working in his old cars in the neighborhood. So, yeah, so I can say I'm pretty lucky. And Soviet 80s dark wave was pretty cool in itself, too. So it kind of stuck with me, and I wanted to be a part of it when I came here. And Rick Ruiner was the perfect opportunity to have me join the band and get into it.
Makes sense.
So I'll pass this to Ajax. The dentist.
Hey, Ajax, the dentist is here. My background is more of traditional rockabilly, Sun Records kind of roots.
Right.
Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis, of course, I was a big fan. Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins. But, you know, like I said before, it's all about balance, right? And so when these crazy cats got together, I just had to be a part of it.
Exactly. I used to live right down the street in Memphis, Tennessee, by the Sun Recording Studio.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Worst place I ever lived, Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's probably more dangerous than Detroit.
I believe it. Here's Dana Danger here.
There
She's
we go.
Tell you about her.
Dangerous Dana.
Deadly Danger.
Dangerous.
Dana,
dangerous. Deadly Dana.
I am dangerous.
Hey. Yeah.
So I'm a goth kid. I
she
love.
Was original skate witch.
I was an original skate witch. You can look on YouTube. But I love Love and Rockets. Well, I love the Cult. Yeah, it's just goth. Susie and the Banshees. Anything dark. Dark wave, like Nina said, and stuff that rocks. So, that's me.
I can go with that. Anything that rocks. What about?
Hold on. We're tangled up here.
Oh, my God.
Can I go?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jungle Josh wants to say something.
Okay, that's good. Jump on in.
He can tell you a little more about how the band started.
Yeah, so other than just Ted Nugent, because Ted Nugent was, like, you know, an early influencer, later on, like a few years after that, I got really into the band Devo. You know, the guys with the flower pots, they did Whip It Good. They're actually kind of from your area.
Yeah, I'm from Ohio.
You're not that far from Akron.
I know about Devo. Trust me on that.
Yeah, he's friends with Devo, John.
Yeah, I actually knew the Casalis for a little bit growing up, and I still talk to their road manager, Michael Pilmer. So if Michael Pilmer's listening to this, hey, your boy. but anyway, so yeah, I got to see Devo as a kid, and I got invited backstage because I kind of knew them people, and their guitarist Bob gave me a guitar pick when I was like 12 years old, and that was especially right after the Ted Nugent thing was like my pick of destiny moment, you know,
right?
Because, you know, I got a guitar lesson from the one guy, and then I meet my other guitar hero from Devo, like, right after that, and that was just kind of, like, enough of a sign for me to really get into playing guitar and really doing stuff. And my friend Gary Modlinski, rest in peace, I miss him a lot, taught me how to play guitar when I got into it, thanks to Ryan Goldsworthy getting me hooked up with him. And Ryan Goldsworthy is the guitarist of the other band. After that, after I got those guitar lessons, I got really into Led Zeppelin, and I got, like, really into, like, ZZ Top and Jimi Hendrix and stuff like that. So a lot of my musical influences is kind of that late 60s into the early 80s kind of mixed musical influences.
And a little bit of that blues infusion into the rock and roll right there.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Jungle Josh at the crossroads.
Are we not men? We are Devo.
That's right. We are. We're all Devo.
Exactly.
Jungle Josh at the crossroads, cross-dressing.
Out there hunting in a dress.
Yeah, that's it.
Wearing a toga.
I'm sure Ted would love that. You and Fred Bear and Ted all in drag. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
That you know, it's hard to go down to the mud bog when you're wearing IU.
Okay, let's get down in the swamp.
You go down to the bog. I'll go up to the hill. We'll get that buck.
Get a nice...
So, that's the most romantic song ever written.
I think Fred Bear might be the most romantic song ever written. I'm pretty sure it is. Hey, listen to it.
I'm telling you, we're having a good time. I told you it would be a good time, you know?
I think it's as romantic as anything that Sean Cassidy sang. Speaking of which, the 70s, I think I'm the oldest guy in the band. Oh, no, Ajax is older than me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I was really inspired by like those Monster Mash compilations, you know, with like Monster Mash and Purple People Eater.
Yeah.
The stuff that, you know what I'm talking about?
I definitely do.
They were illustrated by George Peed. We thought that was so funny. But then the Groovy Ghoulies cartoon, do you remember that cartoon?
Yes, I do.
That was a huge influence on me even wanting to be in a band. But I never had any musical skill. So you guys are stuck with me. What you see is what you got here.
Exactly. And you guys have a good time. That's really what makes the music great. Is that
we have a great time.
That you're enjoying.
You know, the
yourself.
Shows are always a lot of fun, and it's one of those shows that kind of we leave it on the stage. It's just, I don't know how people can tour because I don't even get out of bed the next day.
Right. And you guys do play locally around in the Michigan area. I've seen that you guys have had a couple shows over there in Cleveland and stuff.
Yeah, we have a good fan base in Cleveland for some reason. And Chicago.
I don't know. Maybe they're secret Wolverine fans, maybe. I don't know.
It could be. We've been offered some shows, but, you know, none of us like... I mean, Nina doesn't want to use the restrooms in hotel rooms. She's terrified.
I understand that. You got to watch out for those cameras, you know?
The cameras, yeah. The
you never know.
Cams
you never
that
know.
That are left over from Chuck Berry.
Exactly.
Yeah. She brings the black light flashlight. She actually...
Something weird like that with Freeman J. Hawkins one time.
I
know it was Chuck Berry. He had a restaurant with.
I know Screaming Jay Hawkins was in the Ohio Penitentiary for a while. I know that, but I don't know what for. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
You know, I know. I think the quote of him is that when he did the song "I Put a Spell on You," he didn't know for years what he was saying. He was so damn drunk.
Sounds like some of our recordings. We've been recording with Jim Diamond. I don't know if you know who Jim Diamond is. He's recorded some huge records. He did the first two White Stripes records.
Okay.
We have to give a shout out to Jim.
Yeah, let's give a shout out to Jim.
Yeah, Jim Diamond. He's recorded every garage band, I think, in the world. He's mostly in Europe throughout the year, but then he comes back to record us. So we're going to have an Italian meal with Jim soon.
Well, that's me and Nina. That's pretty cool. You know.
Oh, yeah. If Dana could, I think Dana would tour 365 and a half days a year. There's a running joke that she would book us on a Tuesday night in a gym in Provo, Utah. She would. So, yeah, we will probably do some more out-of-town shows, but we kind of have to get to a point where we're not, like, sleeping in a van or something.
Say more about your touring aspirations.
If any of your listeners are from Fort Wayne, Indiana, Bathurst is the origins, the originators of Bathurst. The Rooners are playing the Roon on a Saturday, August 12th.
August 12th.
In Fort Wayne, Indiana. So come on down.
Yep, plenty of time because this show, I think we're going to put this on my birthday show because my birthday is next week. So
Happy birthday.
So the old
happy birthday to you.
Yeah, the old sheepdog getting older but not any smarter.
You call yourself the old sheepdog?
I am the old sheepdog, honey.
Oh.
And I'll tell you that name is it's kind of an honor to radio legend Alan Freed, who got busted for the payola scandal. He used to go by the name Moondog.
Okay.
So a little bit of Ohio ties there, you know.
I like it.
Back to Nina.
Nina
has more to say.
Nina wishes she could say more, but Nina's very distracted by Josh's enormous shoes that he just took off, actually, and I'm a little dizzy.
Hey, big feet make women sweat, I'll tell you.
What'd you say, Sarge?
I said big feet will make women sweat.
Those are just big shoes.
Well,
yeah, I'm walking around here in clown shoes.
That's all right. Okay, guys, what I'm going to do is I'm gonna wrap it all up here and let you guys get back to doing what you do best, which is playing that rock and roll music. And we're going to go into another song right now, one we talked about a little bit ago. It's Bronze Fawns. It's by Bathurst, and you're now on Hot Rodden Tonight.
Cycle boots. When he hits the jukebox, all the girls swoon. He gonna do it, he gonna hit it, he gonna hit it on the Let's all go. Chicken shack. He jumped the shark. He ain't never coming back. He gonna jump it. He gonna do it. He gonna jump it on the ladder. Ooh. Inspiration point. He loved them all, and he's rocking the joint. He gonna.